When Christopher Columbus first set foot in the New World, in what is now the Dominican Republic, he did more than discover lands that were previously unknown to Western Europe. Science writer Charles C. Mann observes that the famed navigator also inaugurated an unprecedented intermingling of plant and animal species on a global scale.
When Columbus crossed the Atlantic, what he was doing had an environmental consequence because he was bringing ecosystems in Europe and Asia together with those of the Americas, ecosystems that have been separated for millions of years. There was an ecological collision that was underneath the historic collision.
Those collisions and the myriad reverberations that followed are the subject of Mann's new book, 1493, Uncovering the New World That Columbus Created. It's a provocative and intriguing title, although the author admits the consequences he documents were neither intended nor the result of one man's explorations.
It wasn't really what they were trying to do, but it's what happened. If Columbus hadn't done what he did, just 8 years afterwards, this Portuguese guy named Cabral stumbled into Brazil without knowing anything about it. The Europeans take the first step, and they sort of bang into the Americas. 8 years later, a guy named Legazpi sets up permanent operations for Spain in Manila and establishes continuous contact with China, which is what Columbus wanted to do. And he makes a link that permanently creates this global network of exchange that we now live in.
Popular history tends to focus on the exchange of crops between the New World and the Old, things like corn, coffee, tobacco, and chocolate. But Mann suggests the single most important plant to reach the Old World from the New was the humble potato.
Prior to the potato arriving, Europe couldn't feed itself. The potato came to Europe, and the result was that in this broad swath from Ukraine all the way to Ireland, suddenly, for the first time in history, people had an adequate food supply. There's a big population boom. Ireland's population just exploded, for example.
Mann is not a researcher himself, but a writer who explains and synthesizes the recent work of dozens of historians, anthropologists, botanists, and other scientists. After surveying all that, he says the most significant planetary impact, post-Columbus, involved neither plants, nor germs, nor insects, but humans.
This ecological convulsion that was set off by Columbus had an impact on us as a species as well. Before Columbus, the overwhelming majority of Africans were in Africa. Europeans mainly lived in Europe, Asians in Asia, and of course the Americas were full of Native Americans. Very quickly after Columbus, you find things like Chinatowns in Mexico City, which was there by 1600. So the distribution of our species on the planet gets changed around.
Quite a lot of that redistribution was driven by economics, the search for wealth, and the trade that followed when riches were discovered and exploited. So it's not a stretch to think of the post-Columbian years as the world's first wave of globalization.
In 1545, Spain discovers a mountain of silver in Bolivia. It's called Potosi. Unbelievable amounts of silver come out. Most of the world's economies at that point run on silver and gold. And this effectively doubles, or maybe even triples, the world's supply of precious metal, which is to say the world's money supply. So Spanish silver becomes a universal currency, kind of the way that dollar is. And then wrapped around it are these ecological things that happen when the ships carrying the silver are also carrying these other hidden passengers.
And it truly was a global phenomenon, Mann adds. It was silver from Bolivia and Mexico that opened the trade routes to the Orient and linked the world that Columbus knew with the one he unknowingly instigated. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB.